Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Neuropathy is a form of nerve damage that is often associated with other health problems such as cancer, diabetes, and shingles. It's estimated that over 20 million Americans have neuropathy. For some, the symptoms are merely an annoyance. For others, the effects can be debilitating. Later in the hour, we're going to discuss some of the therapies that can help treat the symptoms of neuropathy, including Tai Chi and acupuncture. But first, we discuss causes, prevention, and treatment of neuropathy. And joining us is Dr. Michael Leahy. He's board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and internal medicine. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Peter Hopewoods, general surgeon with a special interest in cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship.
Hello, Mindy.
Welcome back.
Hello, yeah. Mindy.
Carol Summerall is a cancer patient with neuropathy. Welcome back to you, Carol. Good to see you.
Thanks, Mindy, for having us.
Dr. Leahy, neuropathy, as we mentioned, is nerve damage, but can you take a moment for like a basic lesson in anatomy or physiology and explain first how our nervous system works and how neuropathy impedes the normal function?
Well, the description of neuropathy is really in the name, neuro, nerves, pathy, sick. Neuropathy affects the nerves that connect the body to the spine, or less commonly, the nerves that connect the face and head directly to the brain. There are many causes for neuropathy and many manifestations of neuropathy. The most common manifestation is that the affects the longest nerves in the body, and so it tends to bother the legs more than the arms or the hands. There are many causes. The most common named cause is diabetes, though a full third of neuropathies are ultimately described as idiopathic, no obvious cause. It can be associated with medications or environmental toxins.
Well, it sounds like you have to be a bit of a detective to track this all down.
Yes, and when someone comes with a neuropathy that is not otherwise explained, we will look to see if they have diabetes or prediabetes, if they have any nutritional problems. A vitamin B12 deficiency can give you a neuropathy. If they have an abnormal protein in the blood, we will screen for that. And we also ask about environmental or medication exposures.
Mm-hmm. Does the nerve damage present differently depending on the cause? For example, would a patient who has neuropathy from diabetes present in the same way as a patient with cancer?
Yes, because it's the injury to the nerve affects the longest nerves primarily, and often the manifestations of neuropathy are quite similar from different causes. The neuropathy associated with an adverse response to chemotherapy can look quite similar to a diabetic neuropathy on presentation.
And not everybody who has chemotherapy obviously gets neuropathy, right? So and do you have any indication that that will happen, or you just don't know?
You just don't know. We know that certain chemotherapeutic agents are more likely to cause neuropathy, but we don't know who will have the neuropathy from the chemotherapeutic agent. Someone who has even a mild neuropathy before getting the medication is more likely to have a notable worsening.
Right. Carol, when did you first experience neuropathy, and how did it present?
It's interesting, Mindy. And first, I want to thank you and Amy. You've been great to work with. And Dr. Leahy and Dr. Hopewood, who are both part of my care team. In 2021, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, HER2 negative, meaning that I couldn't use hormones. I had to take chemotherapy. In my interview with my oncologist, I was told 2% of cancer patients treated with chemotherapy end up with neuropathy. And I just sort of thought, no, I won't be that 2%. So I went right ahead. It was during COVID, so I did stay local for my treatment. And I was part of Cape Cod Healthcare as the director of community relations and marketing. So I was treated with paclitaxel. And over the first course of the first half of my treatment with 4 different chemo meds, I started to develop, like when you sit on your leg and your leg falls asleep, mm-hmm. and you get that pins and needles sensation. And I just kept thinking, well, I'm sleeping on my arm. I'm sleeping with my legs like kind of crossed up. The chemo was brutal. The paclitaxel caused second and third degree burns in my body. Wow. And along with that came the pins and needles sensation, which was debilitating. Yeah. I couldn't walk. I ended up in a coma for 4 months. Chemo-induced psychosis is right. Actually what the diagnosis was. Fortunately, Dr. Leahy and Dr. Hopewood were right by my side every step of the way, trying different measures to control the pain. The first 4 months while I was in the hospital, between the hospital and the skilled nursing facilities, the pain was excruciating. I would have psychosis and dreams thinking I was being tortured because I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. I'm a nurse, and I still did not understand the significance of it. So, and again, as Dr. Leahy said, it does manifest itself in different ways. And again, only 2% in chemotherapy patients. Mm. But just quickly, as again, there are many reasons why people have neuropathy.
But now, did your symptoms change over time, or did it stay, you know, to the pins and needles?
That's a great question. It's been 4 years. I had my 4-year anniversary last weekend, and my neuropathy continues to worsen.
Oh, that's so sorry.
For people who are suffering with neuropathy, no matter what the cause, the best remedy is movement. You have to move. If it's the winter, the senior center has a place you can walk. The Falmouth Senior Center, I'm sure senior centers across the Cape have places and gyms where people can walk, but you have to move. Sedentary behavior is only going to worsen it. Yeah. I've made a point of trying to walk every day, which isn't always possible.
Right. And this obviously has had a big impact on your life.
Well, you saw what I came in with.
Yeah.
It's a suitcase. I have to carry a suitcase because along with the neuropathy, it's affected it's systemic. It's affected my GI system, my respiratory system. It's a very insidious, debilitating disease that 4 years out, it tests my will.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I can. Well, and I was saying that to Dr. Leahy before we went on the air. Anybody living with any kind of chronic pain, I don't think people understand how not only debilitating, but just draining. It's just constantly there.
Yeah, it's really bad. Mike, neuropathy, pain, numbness, weakness.
Pain, numbness, weakness. Loss of balance can be a significant issue. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that goes along with the neuropathy is that it's not just the peripheral nerves that are affected, but the central nervous system changes. It's you don't feel pain except the message gets up to the brain to say it. Some folks, the central sensitization doesn't develop. In other folks, that second part of the process can take over. The other comment I'll make to patients is that the message is not getting through as balanced. And in some ways, the area where the nerves are injured are a little bit like a radio station mistuned with a lot of static. Mm-hmm. And Carol's point that moving and doing things makes it less. When you get real input, when you're actually tuned on the station, the static is less a bother.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hopewood, how do you communicate to cancer patients about the possibility of neuropathy? And does that weigh into people's decision with cancer treatment? Like Carol said, she heard 2%. She thought, oh, my odds are pretty good.
Well, the neuropathy, you know, is related to several different drugs. And so not all patients get drugs that cause neuropathy. But the majority of patients that get chemotherapy from breast cancer, colon cancer, myeloma, and probably lung cancer, those in particular, are exposed to these platinum drugs and taxane drugs, which are very much related to this. So there's a lot of guidelines in how to minimize the dosing or spread the dosing out so you decrease the risk. Mm-hmm. 2% may be a conservative management because maybe these are symptomatic. These are symptoms that don't have a lot of physical findings, unless you see someone like Carol or other people coming in with a cane or, you know, walking with balance problems.
Right.
So it's a very subjective thing. So commonly, I'll come in, how do you feel? I'm fine. How are your feet? They're a little numb, but they're not painful. I can walk okay. but they probably have some degree of neuropathy, right, but a mild. In Carol's case, is more extreme.
Yeah. And so when you have, you're talking about these drugs that maybe are a little more riskier for neuropathy, are there alternatives? Do they have to use those particular drugs?
Well, you're pretty much stuck because there's certain treatment guidelines, and it's a, you know, it's a battle between survival and survivorship, and Carol is cancer-free. But
the,
her survivorship is awful.
Yeah.
No, really. It's not good.
Dr. Leahy, it sounds like there's different degrees of neuropathy, right? Are there different stages? Like Carol says, her has increased over time. Is that typical?
No, that's actually not typical of chemotherapy, of neuropathies with chemotherapy. Most of them worsen while getting the chemotherapy and shortly after and then get better over a period of time. What happens, however, is that the neuropathy can sometimes kick off a process called central sensitization, and where the symptoms continue to worsen over time. There's the spinal cord and the brain become part of the process.
So it's it's progressive in some cases and not in others.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So what do we know about preventing neuropathy? And let's start with neuropathy caused by cancer or chemotherapy. Is there a way to prevent it?
Well, it's a couple of things. You could be preemptive and know you're going to go into exercise programs for sure. Mm-hmm. That's key. And then some of the chemotherapy drugs like the taxanes, you can check a vitamin D level. I'll make sure you don't have low vitamin D levels. That's helpful. Also, we spacing the dosing out, you know, instead of, you know, every 2-3 weeks, maybe go every 3 or 4 weeks if you can. They adjust the doses with that. And then there's some newer therapy of compression or cryotherapy. So using during the infusions of the chemotherapy, using cold gloves and socks without getting frostbite. So you have to be careful. And these are available on Amazon. And these are things that have just been figured out. They were doing compression, but they thought that the cryotherapy or the cold gloves and socks was more effective. This is very similar to what you may have heard in the past of women or men that are getting, or people getting chemotherapy, losing their hair, and they put cold caps on, those skull caps with cold circulation to protect the skin and the hair follicles from the effect, so they can preserve some of their hair.
Oh, wow. I never heard of that. And so what about prevention for things like diabetes?
The prevention in things like diabetes is better diabetic control. There's not a medication you take to prevent the neuropathy. And even the medications treating the neuropathy, they don't really change the nerves. They change the way the perception from the nerves is brought to the brain.
And I didn't know that shingles could cause neuropathy.
Yes. Well, shingles is a virus getting into the nerve, so it directly damages the nerve. And in the area affected by the shingles, there's often loss of sensation and can be very severe pain.
Yeah.
Mike, with patients that have a B12 or a folic acid deficiency, these are patients that their stomachs are not making acid and things. And if they get replacement of those deficiencies, do their neuropathies get better?
Yes, although sometimes not entirely better. The folks we've seen with very severe B12 deficiencies are still left with some balance difficulty, but they improve substantially with the replacement.
Mm-hmm. Right. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about neuropathy this hour. We welcome your questions or comments. You can join the conversation at 866-999-4626, or you can send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us is Dr. Michael Leahy, board-certified in neurology, psychiatry, and internal medicine. Dr. Peter Hopewood, general surgeon with a special interest in cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship. And Carol Summerall, who is a cancer patient with neuropathy. I'm wondering if... is it possible to repair nerve damage that's caused by neuropathy? You know, is there any current research into that?
No, the nerves repair themselves, and there isn't any medication that expedites the repair that we know of. That if you take away the stressor, the nerves will repair themselves, so usually not back to the level they were at. There's always some residual.
And we were talking about prevention. Is there research into other prevention, maybe techniques that we aren't aware of yet or that we haven't really tried out?
Again, the major prevention is trying to get a sense of what might be causing the neuropathy and pulling back on the toxin that's causing it or treating the disease that may be causing it.
All right. Let's talk to Catherine, who's calling from Provincetown. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Hi. Sorry, my voice is strained all the time. I have a diagnosis of MS that I got in 1993, and I lived 30 years almost, you know, more than 30 years with no disability, and then I have both a bad neuropathy started in 2022. So the last 3 years, my husband was dying of lung cancer, which, you know, in my mind, they say MS triggers can be triggered by stressors, of course. But I also have a lower back issue, which I've been to many different people about because of being convinced that it couldn't be the MS because of the way just is so different from how I experienced my MS for 30 years. Anyway, I appreciate that you said the woman that's the cancer survivor, you know, how debilitating it is because I, you know, can't walk. You know, I was somebody who used to walk 5-6 miles a day during COVID and was a runner before that. Oh. Anyway, I wanted to say that I have two different wonderful neurologists. One is at Brigham and Women's and attributes everything to the MS. And my other neurologist is a neuropathic pain specialist. She thinks it is coming from my back, but neither person can offer anything that gives me any relief.
Catherine, I'm sorry you're going through that, and stay tuned because we're going to talk about some things that might be able to help. So, Catherine, thank you for your call and stay tuned because we're going to bring in Carol Bosco Bauman now. She's the CEO of Cape Wellness Collaborative. Hi, Carol. You got to unmute.
Hi there. Hi.
So, Carol,
thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, for those unfamiliar with Cape Wellness Collaborative, tell us a little bit more about the organization and the supports and services that you offer.
Happy to do it. Our mission is to help residents of Cape and the Islands who are facing cancer feel better. And we do that through integrative therapies, nourishing meals, and emotional support services. So, integrative therapy can include things like acupuncture, massage, oncology massage, craniosacral work, energy work like Reiki, and then movement therapies and movement like yoga. We have a summer rowing program that we're hoping to continue through the colder months. And then through our nutritious meals, those are offered during the 6 weeks that a patient is in treatment. So we're providing enough food for them and their caregiver for about 6 weeks, so they have a good nutrient dense meals that they can have while they're in treatment. And then for emotional support services, we have three different emotional support groups. We have our Circle of Hope breast cancer group. We also have a caregiver group, and I'm really happy to say that we now have a men's group. We had the first meeting of it the other night, and they enjoyed it so much and needed so much that we've now increased the time by a half hour, and we'll be having those. The next one is in December. It's December 1st at headquarters, so our headquarters in South Yarmouth. So the way that Cape Wellness Collaborative works is that we provide each of our clients with a credit of $750 that they may use at any of our 84 affiliated practitioners located throughout the Cape and Islands. And so what will happen is their oncologist, whether it's at Cape Cod Hospital where we get and Falmouth and the hospitals on the islands from which we get most of our referrals, but it can be also referrals from hospitals in Boston, and so they get the referral to us. If they qualify, which means that they have to have a recent within 1 year cancer diagnosis, because that's what our organization, the populational organization, was set up to help. So they get that diagnosis, they get the referral, they come to us, they get a credit of $750. And then typically their oncologist will mention specific modalities that they would like them to use. For example, there's a higher incidence of breast cancer on the Cape and Islands, and I can let Dr. Hope would speak to why that is, but we do see a lot of folks, a majority, about 71% of our clients are women. A lot of them have breast cancer, and a lot of them have neuropathy. So we do see requests coming in for to relieve that particular address that particular issue, but in general, what we hope to do is to provide an array of opportunities for people to access to help themselves feel better. So through massage, it could be through a meditation program, and in a number of ways, because we want them to go it to their families, their communities, and to feel better and have a positive ripple effect.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned acupuncture, and I'm wondering for either of the doctors your thoughts on that. A lot of people find a lot of relief with that. You're nodding your head, Dr. Hopwood, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that some people it really works very well. And we have a couple of very skilled acupuncturists on the Cape that we refer patients to. It's a non-medication alternative.
Right.
And, you know, if it works, it's great. You know, I feel it's very important to combine Western and Eastern care systems in managing patients, because you don't want to over-medicate somebody. You know, someone like Carol may require tons of anti-anxiety drugs and sedative drugs just to manage her pain. And then you become less functional because you can't get out of bed, you're dizzy, you're lightheaded.
Yeah.
So these other things are just amazing.
Yeah. Carol, what have you found that works for you?
Well, actually, and it's hard for me because I won't take pain meds. Mm-hmm. I refuse to take pain meds. They don't agree with me. Opioid addiction is a huge issue in this population because it's how people manage their pain, which is understandable because it is significant. For myself, I use a benzodiazepine product, and it's not a product that people like to give patients. So I feel a little bit hesitant to comment on it, but I recently had a dental issue, and he thought the drug I was on was great. He said he prefers it to some of the other benzos that people take, but I'm not a fan of opioid use because it's easy to get addicted. And I think there's a judgment that goes with it. I find when I go to the hospital that I'm feeling like I'm judged sometimes.
Well, that's too bad.
I don't understand it because I am in pain, but it's hard. People don't know by looking at, if I didn't have a cane, people wouldn't know. They think I look fine.
Yep.
I am so not fine, physically.
But Carol, have you tried any of? I'm wondering if
I did.
Of these alternatives, like the acupuncture or the, you know, other yoga or these other things that they're talking about.
I actually did, Carol. Thank you for your program. I did use it. I did use the acupuncture, and Jean Jackson, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, started the program at Falmouth Hospital. She's 84 now. And still alive and doing so well. And she's such a believer in, as Peter said, mixing Eastern and Western medicine, and did open the program at the hospital.
Yeah.
So I've tried it. Unfortunately for me, nothing seems to be able to help with the pain. But the program is so valuable. Cape Wellness is, Carol, you do a phenomenal job. We've spoken, you probably don't remember because it's been a few years, and it reminds me that I probably should call you again because my balance is not good.
No, Carol,
yeah, let's talk. And Carol, I'm so sorry for everything that you're going to. And Thank you for being on the show and sharing your story and hopefully helping and inspiring others to push hard on finding treatments that really work for them.
Well, just recently, my significant other went to an event on Saturday night, and his sister-in-law works for a pharmaceutical company called Serenax, and it's in Boston, and they're actually working on and making strides with a medication that maybe, and this is just a big maybe, that may help with the neuropathy. I'm really excited. I mean, gabapentin and some of the other drugs just don't work for me.
Yeah, and a lot of them haven't worked. And but I wanted to ask Mike, this drug duloxetine or Cymbalta. Tell me a little bit more about that drug here.
Duloxetine is chemically it appears to be an antidepressant, but it was in fact used for the pain of diabetic neuropathy. That was its initial approval. And like the gabapentin, it works on the brain. It doesn't actually work on the nerves. It effectively puts a filter in so that the abnormal sensation from the nerves is a li little less strong in the brain and a little less bothersome. All drugs can have side effects. No drug comes with a guarantee, but it often can be helpful.
And we're talking with the Cape Wellness about cancer patients, but neuropathy and some of the things they're talking about that they're using with cancer patients would also be useful for neuropathy caused by other things, right?
Yes, the pathophysiology, the way the body works with it, it's nerve damage then being processed in the brain. And if you can make that nerve damage less loud in the brain, you will do better. And it doesn't matter what the cause of the nerve injury is. The treatments are very similar for neuropathies of different causes.
We've got Dr. Tammy Bollinger, who's also with Cape Wellness Collaborative, on the line. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit about why you're calling in.
Yes, well, I am fortunate enough to be part of the Cape Wellness Collaborative as an acupuncturist out on Nantucket, and was just calling. I know it sounds like the last caller didn't necessarily have the best result with acupuncture, but there are many, many people that do, and there's some great studies out there that are showing the effectiveness of acupuncture for all sorts of neuropathies, including chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathies, and just thought I should give a shout.
And thank you for calling from Nantucket, too, because sometimes we forget this is also available on the islands, right?
Can I ask
Absolutely,
Tammy, I wanted to
yes.
ask you, if you do acupuncture and you don't get a good result, can you repeat it at different sites in the body? Tell us how that works.
Oh, absolutely. Acupuncture is really systemic. It's one of the things that I love most about acupuncture is that we don't necessarily have to treat just locally. So when somebody comes to see me with neuropathy, yes, I'm probably going to be treating the local area, but there's lots of other little tricks of the trade where we can use points in other parts of the body also to have effect. So yes, many times acupuncture is not a one-time cure-all. We need oftentimes a series of treatments to help people, especially with longer-standing neuropathies or things where we're fighting the tide, where people are continuing to receive chemotherapies and things that are, creating those neuropathies. But definitely acupuncture can be repeated. And if, the nice thing too is that if it's not even helping with the neuropathy per se, it can also oftentimes help with somebody's sleep or their anxiety level or, other inflammations that they might be having, within the system. There's lots of different things that acupuncture can do to help a person who's undergoing the big, stressors that is everything cancer.
And so it just one time may or may not be beneficial. Is that what you're saying? Sometimes you need several appointments?
I would say definitely people should plan on several appointments to deal with a neuropathy issue, definitely. There's many times acupuncture can be effective, and you can have some effects that might show with a single treatment, but typically you would need more than one treatment to have effect for neuropathy, for sure.
Yeah, thanks for calling in and sharing that with us. Appreciate that. 866-999-4626 is our number, our email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Dr. Hopewood, what treatments do you recommend to your patients with the neuropathy, and what kind of feedback have you gotten?
Well, I think a lot depends on what the symptoms are. If it's numbness, then it's protecting the fingers and the toes. So, for example, diabetics now that have neuropathy of the feet, they don't necessarily have pain in their feet, but they don't feel their feet. And so they could have ulcers or blisters or trauma to the foot and not even know it. So in training, when we were at the Joslin Clinic, we had lots of diabetics with diabetic feet. We would make sure the patients look at their sock every day to see if there was a wet spot. And also shake their shoes out because they could have a little pebble or a penny or sometimes a screw in there or something and wouldn't even know it. They'd be walking on it. And we'd also make sure that they change their shoes twice a day because it's different pressure points in different shoes. Because you keep walking on the same shoe, just like, you get your toe starts to hurt, the same shoe over and over. But different shoes have different toe boxes and things like that. Mm. So a lot depends on what the symptoms are from the neuropathy. Yeah. But I think protecting the hands and the toes for numbness is key. And for pain, then, once again, duloxetine is another option. Mike?
I was going to say, because, I get what Carol's saying about the opiates, and I bet there's a lot of people who are saying, I don't want any opiates. Mm-hmm. But there are other medications besides opiates, right?
Yes. The medications used for the pain and neuropathy are antidepressant-type medications and seizure-type medications. And they're aiming to act on the brain, on the filters or integration of the sensation in the brain to make it less bothersome. And the medications can be helpful, although not every medication helps everybody. Gabapentin or Lyrica are used, and also duloxetine is used. And those are the first three that are tried.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I'm wondering, you mentioned that people who are eligible have to have a cancer within like the year, and they get this $750 voucher. What happens when that voucher's gone if they use that up? Are they done?
They are done. In some cases, we do get requests to extend our services, and that depends on funding. Unfortunately, there are more than 2,100 people diagnosed with cancer on the Cape and Islands every year. We are presently serving about 976 people. So there's room for growth, not in the way that we'd like. But we obviously know that there are more people who could be looking for our services. So right now there have been a couple of extraordinary circumstances where we've been able to help people out a little bit more. But really the idea is to help people when they're hit hard at that moment, when they're at the most stressed who's for me to say when they're most stressed, but we're the idea of the organization was to provide people with this opportunity to help themselves feel better when they are in that shocking moment of, oh my God, I've got cancer. I have all of these different things that I need to do and treatments to consider and doctors and oncologists to see. And so we hope to help them feel better through, both physically and mentally as well. Yeah. And so some of the other things that people, I just wanted to mention, I believe one of the doctors earlier was speaking about how gentle movement can also help with neuropathy. And we're hearing and getting requests for things like Qigong, for example, and David Silver, who's one of our affiliated practitioners, is going to be doing an information session on December 10th here in South Yarmouth from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. To address that. But yoga and stretching, those are other exercises or efforts that people can take to help alleviate. And we do see people coming to us requesting passes to yoga classes and Tai Chi. And then I also just wanted to say, it's really interesting that 25% of the people who come to Cape Wellness are actually taking acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And then another, it's almost 40% come to us for massage therapy, and then specifically oncology massage. Because
what is oncology massage, Carol? What is oncology? How is it different from regular massage?
So it's a specialty in that it's an approach to massage therapy that's based on both compassion, so having obviously compassion for what that patient is going through, and there are also specialized massage treatments. So it's a lighter touch, a lighter touch treatments, and also very slow and steady movements. So you wouldn't see deep tissue massage, for example, being used. So it's a, this is a very specialized treatment. And we are actually offering a deep training next year that will help. Right now, I think I want to say it's about 30% of our massage therapists are certified in oncology massage, and we're offering a training early next year. I think we have one or two spots left so that we can have people get certified in this specialization.
Yeah. We heard when Catherine called in from Provincetown, who her issue was MS, but some of these same things, I don't care, she's not eligible for the Cape Wellness, but when somebody can't really walk or move around, what would options be? I mean, what kind of movement would you be able to do to help neuropathy in a situation where you're not able to kind of get up and go to some of these places?
Well, simply moving at home,
Just
moving
moving.
limb, any sort of real input that you're doing things with your limbs overcomes the static from the nerve damage and limits the degree to which the brain becomes sensitized strictly to the nerve damage.
So moving what you can.
Moving what you can.
Yeah.
Moving what you can.
866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about neuropathy this hour, and we welcome your questions or comments. 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can send us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us is Dr. Michael Leahy, board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and internal medicine. Dr. Peter Hopewood, general surgeon with a special interest in cancer prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship. Carol Summersall, cancer patient with neuropathy. And also Carol Bosco-Baum, and she's the CEO of Cape Wellness Collaborative. All right, so Carol, what about you mentioned support groups? What about support groups and resources on the Cape and Islands for? I know you deal specifically with cancer patients, but you have support groups for those with neuropathy?
Not at this time, but I'm starting to think that we should.
Yeah, I
Pain
say,
management. Pain is so it's so difficult for
right.
people,
And
as
Carol,
Carol was saying
you were
earlier.
saying that this is something you think we need, right?
I actually, Carol, I'm in touch with the local senior center, and shout out to the local senior centers and community centers because they're a wealth of programs and things that they do for the community, senior population more specifically. I would love to start a neuropathy support group. I believe there are several people who suffer with it. I know when people, my experience has been when people see me with a cane, the kindness here is beyond measure. If my cane tips over, someone is running, and then it starts a conversation. And I have to tell you, 95% of the time when they say, "Well, why do you have your cane?" and I explain that I have neuropathy and what happened, it's followed by a story that their wife, their brother, their sister, a family member, a best friend has the same thing. So the amount of people here on the Cape that are suffering with the pain that this insidious disease causes is enormous. So the ability to offer support groups, because if you don't move, what happens is, and having been in a different, I was the director of community benefits for Cape Cod Healthcare for a while and did a lot of research. One of the biggest things we suffer with here, and one of the things that we addressed was depression in older adults because of isolation. The more pain you're in, the more isolated you're going to be.
Correct.
And
Yeah.
as Dr. Leahy said, and Dr. Hopewood said, movement is critical. My movement, my favorite thing to do is the dishes. I love doing the dishes because when I'm doing the dishes, I'm plieing, I'm leaning back and forth, I'm holding onto that sink, moving up and down. It's my favorite part of the day
Oh,
because I'm moving. And
yeah.
if I can move, if I don't move, then my inclination is to go back to the couch
Right.
and watch TV. And that is the worst thing you
Worst
can
case.
do.
Dr. Leahy, what about that? She's talking about depression, and certainly you get a diagnosis like that. Your depression is, it's not uncommon. So you're depressed, and then somebody's telling you got to move, but you're just so overwhelmed with everything that's happening when you first are, realizing you have this cancer, and depending on how serious it is. How do you, how do you talk to patients about that?
Well, we tell them that they've got to move, and sometimes you try to enlist a partner or a caregiver to be a little bit of a scold on it, because mm-hmm. the depression is inertia, and it tends to limit what you do.
Right.
And you need some help breaking the inertia. So enlisting a partner or a caregiver. The other thing is that scheduled exercise, for example, physical therapy in this situation is good because you're getting out to the therapist or mm-hmm. dealing with therapists coming into your home, but also you have to explain to the therapist on the next visit that why you didn't do your exercises between times.
Holding you accountable.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. All right. Lois is giving us a call from T-Ticket. Mm-hmm. Hi, Lois.
Hi, this is Lois, and first I'll say I'm 94 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I have several questions. One of them is I've had this neuropathy for not too long, and it isn't too bad. It's not the kind that it burns or itches or anything like that. But I would like to tell you what I try to do for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I exercise my toes vigorously, exercise my ankles vigorously. I also have a rowing machine that I try to use continuously. My question is, I also have this electric floor pad. Should I or should I not be using that? You put your feet on it, you know.
And what does it heat your feet? Is that what it does?
No, electrical impulses.
Impulses. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. It sounds like the toe moving and the ankle moving is great, right?
Yes, the toe moving and the ankle moving is great. The rowing machine is good for activity. It's probably working less on your toes and feet. The electrical pad is probably going to be helpful. There's a treatment that was used called TENS, transcutaneous electrical stimulation. And essentially, it's just putting another input in and overriding the bothersome input from the neuropathy. You have to be a little bit careful with anything like that to be sure that the pad isn't causing any trouble. But if it's not hot, it probably will not.
Yeah. Thank you for the call.
There was another thing called scrambler therapy, which was where they would try to mix up the signals going to the brain, the pain signals, and try to deflect them. And I think that it was a little bit like they put needles in and things like that. Michael?
That's the same thing. Then there are any of a number of ways to do it, but just putting another input on the nerves to limit the input from the that basically says damage, but also perhaps to limit the brain rewiring and paying attention to the damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can comment. TENS machines, I just had a conversation with Dr. Leahy about you. I just bought a 2-foot TENS machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, use it cautiously. Yeah. But your body, as he said, can only accept one stimuli at a time.
At a time, right? Yeah.
So it does scramble the reception to. I don't understand it. I'm not nearly as qualified as either physician here. But I found that the TENS does help. Yeah. It does work.
One thing I've been thinking about as we're talking about this, especially with a cancer diagnosis, I'm thinking of several friends of mine who've had cancer diagnosis. And the one thing that they find really draining are all the people who go, you should do this. You should try that. Mm-hmm. Right? You're nodding your head, Carol, right?
Yes.
I know it's well-meaning, right? It's well-meaning, but it's like you're just getting inundated with everybody you know saying you need this vitamin or that diet or this exercise or this doctor, right?
Well, first of all, for my experience has been that being a patient is difficult. But being a caregiver is 100 times more difficult. To watch someone that you care about and love decline is painful. So a shout out to all the caregivers who take care of us and keep us going. I mean, the person for me keeps me. I'm developing kyphosis because I'm always bending over and not standing up. And I don't want that hunchback situation, but to stand up straight is so painful. Yeah. And the woman, I think her name was Ruth, that called in, and she was talking about, you know, how painful it is. But you do need to stand up straight. because you will end up with that hunched over. And the more you hunch over, the more you're going to be in that position.
Right.
So thank you to the caregivers.
Yeah. Caroline's giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Caroline.
Hello. Good morning. I have, I guess you'd call it moderate neuropathy. I have a lot of numbness and stiffness, but I can feel my feet. But I was told that I'm a what you'd call a very moderate drinker of wine and occasionally beer. And I was told that if I gave up alcohol altogether, my neuropathy could partially get better. If I gave it up for 6 to 9 months, is there any comment on that?
Well, what about alcohol and neuropathy?
Alcohol is associated with development of neuropathy. Certainly, using a great deal of it is. Lesser amounts also could contribute. That a lot of times when we don't have another explanation for neuropathy, we say it may be related to alcohol in people who are moderate drinkers. So it may get better if you give up alcohol entirely.
Carol, what is your thoughts on, you know, advice for people who've just been diagnosed with cancer and that want to, you know, come take advantage of your services? What advice do you give them?
So one of the things that we actually see is we see people reluctant to use the services that they have been gifted. And what they say is, I don't want to take it away from someone else who may need it more than myself. We hear that a lot. And we want people to understand that the better that they feel, the better that they're able to be fully present in their lives with their families, if they're still working within their communities. And we want them to take that step and to actually utilize the services that they have been granted. And if they need help determining what's best for them after their oncologist has made a recommendation, we're happy to do that. We're happy to work with them to help them select what might be best for them. We have 84 affiliated practitioners, these small business people throughout the Cape and Islands we're supporting. We are always on the lookout to increase access and bring more affiliated practitioners into the fold, particularly on the Outer Cape and Islands. So if there's someone that they want to work with and perhaps is not on our list already, to encourage that person to apply to work with us. But really, we want them to take the first step and realize that these services are there to help them feel better, and that they're a part of a community, and that in helping feel better, they're helping their not only themselves, but their families and their community.
Right. Just about a minute or so left. And Dr. Leahy, I'm wondering, is this like a lot of things, early intervention is it with neuropathy? If you get it early, is that helpful?
It may not change what happens in the nerve. It may well change what happens in the person. You want to try to diminish the symptoms and try to diminish the focus on the symptoms so that you don't get this phenomenon called central sensitization. It can happen anyway, but keeping moving in particular will limit the effects of the neuropathy on the patient.
Just about 30 seconds, Carol. I'm going to give you the final word.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank both Mindy, Amy, Dr. Leahy, Dr. Hopewood, for providing us this airtime. This is a disease that is life-changing, whether it be from chemotherapy, alcohol use, smoking. And I think the final word would be just what we've been talking about throughout the whole hour that we've been on air, is to move. Movement is key. Do not sit. As tough as it is, get up.
Move when you can, as
move
we said.
Move when you can.
All right. Carol Somersall, cancer patient with neuropathy. Carol Bosco-Bauman is CEO of Cape Wellness Collaborative. Dr. Peter Hopewood, general surgeon, and Dr. Michael Leahy, board certified in neurology, psychiatry, and internal medicine. We'll post a link with more information about services offered through Cape Wellness Collaborative at our website, capeandislands.org. Thank you all, especially you, Carol. Thank you for sharing your story.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.